Wonderful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all grace to stay again as we come before you. We thank you for your love, Lord. We are here gathering in thy presence because you have appointed this day for us to come together, Father, to worship, fellowship, and to come, Lord, to listen to thy word and be judged, and to recognize the hour that we live in, Father, getting ourselves ready, Lord, as the bride of Jesus Christ. And we ask for your grace of today, that you open again our ears, and you touch, Lord, the hearts we received, even as the lips of the one who stands before you, ministering the word now. Asking this, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Alright, now, we finished up last week with the foolish one, the foolish virgins, having found the oil, came back and realized it was too late. Now that is something I want to say. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians first and read one scripture verse or two here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 2. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the Spirit of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, why did the foolish virgin come to that realization of the importance of the oil in the first place? We know when a man makes a mistake, of course, it's hard sometimes to rectify the mistake. Some who said it early and corrected others, it took a long time. Now we know that from the beginning of the 20th century, 1903 to 1906, when the Pentecostal oil was given to those that were sitting for it, having received it, they went forth and preached the particular message of getting oil. Come and get oil, come and get oil. And those virgins who received the oil, because they were quickened to see the reality of the revelation that this oil gave to them. Their awareness of knowing that there is this one omnipotent God who gave his Son, and that there is only one God and only one Savior whose name that they recognize to be the Lord Jesus and must be baptized in and embrace that redemptive name. Then, with that revelation, they began to see that Christ, who is going to return within a period, of course, that we will call a generation. Now, 1903, 1906, when that was poured out, they went forth and began to look for the coming of the Lord, and they start to get the oil. But you know, as the bridegroom tarried for about 50 years before they heard the message, get out. Now it's strange. First, the message was to get oil. They went to sleep in Virginia after a while because the bridegroom tarried. And then for 50 years, they had been sleeping, slumbering. And then, of course, in 1953, 1956, around the period of time, they heard the cry, get out. Now, if the child has that one, they have been sleeping in that system. Now, we realize the law is important to us because of what we understood now, looking back in history. But at that time, I guess, few realized, and I believe this personally, that God's revelation is always progressive. God will always reveal a little here, a little there, as day goes by. So, but now if you look into this passage of what followed, it says that the Lord is that Spirit, and we know that the Spirit of God is represented by the Lord. And he says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we all who have the oil, who have that Spirit, with open face, as beholding as in the glass, the glory of the God, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the same Spirit of the Lord. So now, one reason why I believe that the while is because they do not realize the importance of getting deep into the Word. Why this foolish manifest? Because they don't recognize the importance of looking in the Word. And like today we can see, the charisma, the Pentecost now, the emphasis as we know is speaking tongues, get the Holy Ghost baptism, speaking tongues, and they emphasize so much on charisma, on the gifts of God. If we do not have a proper diet of the Word of God, then we are going to miss a lot of the important things that God actually wants to show us. Here Paul really stressed out to us the importance of moving from glory to glory. And that's what the oil is. The Spirit of God in us, making us to look into His Word, beholding as in the glass, the Word of God. Is that right? And I move from glory to glory. Not being satisfied. That's the reason why the wise are able, in their realization, their revelation, carry the extra oil with them. They know they need to carry that oil, the Word of God. They need to carry that Spirit. And not let it die. But to some people say, well, I spoke in tongues, I have this gift, I have that gift, therefore I have the oil. But that's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is not given to you to speak in tongues or prophesy or be healed. But the Holy Spirit was given to what? Jesus clearly said it. To lead you and guide you into all truth. You see? Now you remember Brother Branham. You see when Brother Branham said this. He said, you have more faith than I do. I think he was talking to the congregation. You know why? Because he said, you know, you have more faith because I have to see gay, I have to see a vision before I act it up. I only do what the vision said. You know? But you have faith when you don't even have vision to see. You realize the important thing? That's the reason why in the gift of God, when God used Brother Branham, people don't realize the sovereignty of God to use him. And Brother Branham said, I don't even have the faith that you have. You believe and you pray, you ask for it, and God give it to you because you have faith for me. I have to see visions to do it. Do you understand now? So now the problem here is that many people, because of their experience in the realm of the Spirit, they think that is the oil. But the realm of the Spirit is in the Word of God. You know that, don't you? We know that as the prophet of God said, even the devil can imitate everything except the Word. So that's the reason why the foolish at that time, they are just, of course, looking at the thing that they have, the oil that they have, that one-time experience, they think that's sufficient. But well, at that time, you know, hardly anybody know who are the wise and the foolish. After all, everybody is getting the same thing. And they all went to sleep. But the Bible shows us that there are five wise, five foolish. There is a number of people that are wise, there is a number of people that are foolish, right? To let us know that there are some things between the group. So in the midst of congregation, how are you going to tell who is wise, who is foolish? Until something manifests itself. So they all went to sleep and of course, you know, they heard the cries and 50 years later, here came the voice of the a messenger of God. Let us go to Matthew 25 now and read that. In verse 6 here, and every night there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. So when this was made, they all woke up and started to trim their lamp, as I said, as we went through last week. When they trimmed their lamp, the foolish one realized, of course, their lamp was going out. And so now they asked for oil from the wise, and the wise said, We cannot give this to you. You have to go and buy from those who sell. So while they went to buy, the wise virgin went to meet the bridegroom and went into the marriage. Now here, let us read the Bible very carefully, because I do not believe that when you read the Bible, the way it is written, it's the way that God intended you to see, as you see a black on white paper. If it is so, then everybody will understand the Bible so simply without having to go to a church or to have minister of God explain it to you, would it? Huh? So now, let us look at this very carefully, because I want to point out something here. Now in verse 10, and why they went to buy. Now this is a foolish one. While the foolish one went to buy, the bridegroom came, and then they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, that conveys a picture to many people. While the foolish went one way to town to buy, the wise went the other way to meet the bridegroom, and then going to the marriage, and as they go to the marriage, immediately the door was shut. Now, they want to read it like that. Now, if that is the case, there is no use for the wise, the foolish, to go and buy anymore. Because after all, if they don't have enough wine, they know that it's not possible to meet the bridegroom. Because the moment they meet the bridegroom, when the man pop, the door is closed. Isn't that right? Now, as I said this, I was asked a question some few days back. But my God, how do you answer the person when he asks you a question? In the book of Genesis, in chapter 4, verse 1, where it says that, and Adam knew his wife, and therefore a man, and called him king, right? Because to them, everybody, even denominational, they can argue with you. Adam knew his wife, therefore Cain was Adam and his son. Now if that's the way you want to read the Bible, okay, I asked the brother, how do you answer a man? I said, no, I don't answer the man. Try to explain to him this whole lot of things. Then I said, the only way I answer a man is with a question. I said, if that's the way you understand the Bible, let me give it to you, the same, another question. I want you to answer this question. Paul said, all Israel will be saved. Now where was that verse that got? Romans. Romans 11, 28. And so all Israel shall be saved. Now, if I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to ask him, is it true that all Israel shall be saved? Now, he would have to explain it to me now. Now, if all Israel shall not be saved, then I will have to say, how do you explain Genesis? Chapter 4, where Adam knew his wife Eve and gave birth to Cain. So if you believe Cain was the son of Adam, so you have to believe that all Israel shall be saved. And we know it is untrue. Because Paul also said in another place, not all Israel are Israel. Is that right? Yes or no? So why do you explain scripture like this then? If you do not understand the concept of interpreting God's thought from his point of view, the way he's speaking, the way he had it written, then you have a problem. Right? So now in Genesis, in Matthew 25, and while they went by, the bridegroom came, and then they were already running with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now that didn't happen immediately. Now common sense will tell us that this is the Eastern concept of a wedding. Even the West also do not behave like that, because when the wedding table is spread, Huh? The door is now closed. Is that alright? They're talking about a marriage. Where the feet, the idea is called marriage feet. In the Eastern concept, it's always. Nobody marries to be. Now, of course, in America, you have a man and woman can go to Las Vegas somewhere and then go and get married there. You understand? With some one or two witnesses and that's it. There's no food around, you know. They go out there and after they say they are so happy to go out to the pub and pop some champagne or something like that. But the Eastern concept is a marriage is always feasting. And the bride and bridegroom sits there in front of everybody, or dances with everybody. And the gates are never closed because there's no gate, no door. It's an open space under a tent. Right or not? Anybody can go in there and sit down. As you can see in another part of the parable, when Jesus came, and the parable he says that, you know, when the king came and saw somebody without wearing governor, how did he get in? Of course he can get in anywhere, if you understand or not. It's because anybody can just come in. In today, you know, some wedding they held in the public area, you can just go and sit down. Nobody knows who you are. Unless they look around and somebody wondering, who is this person? I never know him. After asking a relative, will know that this guy is a thief. Coming here to take food for free. But see, the door is never closed. Therefore, what does the door symbolize? The door does not symbolize the closage to a marriage feast. The door symbolizes close. It means all the feasting is over. The bride and bridegroom is now in the wedding chamber and the door is closed. And when that comes in, that's the end of everything. It's finished. It's over. Like somebody buy a ticket to watch a movie, you know, and by the time he goes in the movie, everybody's at the end. The door is already open. Everybody comes out, he goes in, what's the use? It's something like that, you know, and you think about the scenario. Huh? So now well, we need to understand this. Now, you know, when this foolish virgin, they went to buy oil. And I said this. You see, for a moment, when we look into this parable very carefully, no doubt about it, I have been asked this question many, many times. And we tend to say, I tend to think at that time because that since it involved the oil and the date that this parable started in the earliest 20th century where the Pentecostal movement started. But as we look today, it's about 100 years back when it first started. 1903 to 1906. And today we are 2003. Would it be a 100 years that this oil is going to flow and is going to dry up among many people's lives? But we look at it, Paul was thinking, okay, now they go out and buy oil. Who are they going to buy from? We say, oh, they're going to buy out from those Pentecostal, from the Pentecostal preachers up there. But then they begin to realize that the Pentecostal preachers today, the oil that they had wasn't the same as the one they had in 1903. Some people may say they are the same. You know, just because you speak in tongues. But today many people who speak in tongues are not the real thing. But to be really have the Holy Ghost, he always points to one thing, you know. You know, let me say this. My own testimony, I do not know about you people. Because I came from a Pentecostal church. You know, when I was first a Baptist and I was back to sleep for about 2 years, then when I went back to Pentecost, to the Assembly of God, and then when God began to tell me and pour upon me the Holy Ghost baptism, my heart was yearning to study more of the world. Of course, I was still a Trinitarian. Because you are in a system. You understand that? Now, if I was not in that system, if I got the Holy Ghost baptism under the ministry of Brother Branham, assuming that he's alive, or that if I get to meet him, of course he was still alive then when I came to the Pentecostal church. If I would have sat under his ministry and know about it, then he would have a different, understanding of what God really was at that time. Isn't it? But because I was in the exams of God, they taught you the Holy Ghost, the fifth person of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. But in my heart, I know I have the Holy Ghost, but I think that because I was strong and God was dealing with my life, and I went through the world reading and reading, until one day when that message came to me, and that just one message went through, the prophet made one statement, turned me the whole thing around. You see, it was quick to receive it. Because that's what the Spirit of God is. It's to lead you and guide you into all things. You don't hesitate and say, nah, that cannot be. Nah, that cannot be. Let me find out from my pastor and this and that. Well, later on from the pastor, he was spying on me and said that, you know, Brother Ben was a false prophet. He went off the will of God. Because he doesn't believe in the Trinity. You see. So you see what I'm talking about? And we had public meetings years back, and someone had called me on the phone after reading some of our literature, and he said, I read about a word about the Trinity, Jesus, I agree with what he said is true. I said, what are you going to do about it? He said, no, I don't know about it yet. You know, I'm going to ask my pastor about it. You know, I said, what are you going to ask the pastor about it, and then you call me back. And a few days later, he called me back, said, my pastor said, well, it doesn't matter which way you baptize. Oh, you see what I'm talking about? The spirit of man may change, but not the spirit of God. Your heart, feeling, your thought may change, but not the thought of God. Not the heart of God. You understand what I'm saying? So you see, the Pentecostal oil today is not the same as it was at the beginning of the 20th century. When people receive the oil, they automatically at once they realize all these people were Methodists. They were Baptists. They were from different churches. They just got together to pray and study the Word of God, and when they got the Holy Ghost baptism, immediately they realized the wonders of the Godhead. And they saw the baptism was to be conducted in the name of Jesus Christ, because that is only one redemptive name they come to understand. And because that was what happened on the day of Pentecost after Jesus died. After the Holy Ghost came upon the apostles and those 120 in the upper room. Is that right? You all were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and Peter spoke so strongly. This very person he called Jesus, whom you crucified. And you Jews know that. You brethren, you Jews, we Jews, we know that there is none other than Yahweh. And this same Yahweh has made this same Yeshua both Lord and Christ, both Kyrios and Christo. You see that? You understand that? You see, you make them to realize that, to make them to understand that there is only but one God and this redemptive name, one. Nothing else. The Holy Ghost lead us back to himself, to his own word. Not about coming upon you and let you speak in tongues. Huh? Not coming upon you and let you have some gifts. They're all good, but that's not what he's supposed to do. Now when the wise had that, you know, they want to go in more. They realize the importance of this and they correct the oil, but the wise is not so. Now the foolish is not so. Wow, I'm getting mixed up with the wise and the wise. So the foolish is not so. So you know, as time comes down here, as you see, things change. Even 10 decades after, 10 years after the Holy Ghost was first poured out, they began to split, and then you have all these kids. I mean, what happened here in this end time? So we see that, but I look at it, when the foolish went to buy oil, now, sure, when we talk about virgin as a whole, okay, we don't know who are the wise and the foolish, for example. But if they are wise, and if they have bought the right kind of oil, they would have seen it. If they got the wrong kind of oil, they wouldn't see it because they continue it. Then they are just burning the wrong kind of oil. And they will never come to the revelation of that truth. Yes, you go out to the Pentecostal there and buy the oil from this Pentecostal merchant. See, you're going to sell Pentecostal oil. But I say this once again, they are not the kind of oil that was first poured out in the early 20th century. So they can go from one place to another looking for the oil. Now apparently something is here we're looking at. We're looking at those. Now the Bible here, let's go back to where it says in verse 5. When the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye come out to meet him. Now, we realize, of course, in this parable, it's just a number of five wise and five foolish ones. It's just a number. Huh? Now, it started back in those years, almost 100 years ago, when the oil was first poured out. And it goes back when the cry was made, was 50 years ago. Alright? About 50 years ago. 50 years ago, many of you were not born. Correct that? We were not born. Maybe if you were born, you were just a baby. Or maybe a kid, you know nothing about anything. Now, we were here in this 20th century, never met the prophet. But we still heard the cry. Because why? You must understand that when a parable is given, you have to dissociate yourself from what is natural and what is spiritual. You understand? When we talk about the realm of this parable, the foolish and the wise and the oil and the bridegroom and all these things, we must look at it from the perspective of the spiritual setting. Is that alright? Huh? And dissociate ourselves from the natural part of our life. So now here we have today, we have, well, we are sitting here, we believe that we are wise virgins. But we didn't hear the cry back then 50 years ago, but we heard it somewhere along there. Why? It's because the cry sounded along the corridor of time to those who are spiritually able to hear. Do you understand that now? Now, the Bible used five wise, five foolish. It's just a number of grades, but to say, if you were to say, there is a group of wise and a group of foolish. Now you know one thing is that when the cry was made, well, everybody wake up at the same time. Some takes a little while to wake up. So assuming like then that by the time that, well, as the commotion of the cry made went by in 1956, the corridor of that cry goes down to the 60s even. Is that right? Some who heard it in the 50s probably say, there's nothing about this cry. Huh? To them they ignore this cry. You know what I mean? Okay. And to others here in the 60s, they heard it, wow, that's something. Yes, I'm going to get myself trimmed up. Well, the prophet does, but the cry still goes on to the 70s, to the 80s, to the 90s. Even to this day. The cry is going around the corridor town, waking up all the virgins. But now, some virgins think that they are virgins, but they are not. They heard it, they go back, and they might be just passed. A chance. And then the other thing is that some so-called virgins, they think they are virgins. After a while, they went back to the system. Now we know that this is true in this end-time message. Many came, many go back. Because they do not recognize the truth. Now as you say, we notice that the charismatic movement believe they are the bride. The charismatic people, the charismatic church believe that they are the bride. Because they believe they have everything. And they're able to unite the people. But they are the so-called bride. They are not the bride of Christ. Because by looking at this parable now, we begin to realize that those who heard the cry, they all wake up and start trimming their lives. They're examining what they have. Now apparently, the foolish having not enough or realize they're not going to be able to make the bridegroom to go into the marriage. Now one thing it is, we realize that this is not going into the rapture. This is going into the marriage. And we know that the marriage takes place on this earth. It takes place on earth. The home of the bride, not the bridegroom. You understand? After taking place, having married the bride in the bride's home, then the bridegroom will take her home to the father's home. And he cannot take the bride to his father's home until the bride has made herself ready. Do you understand this now? How can the bride become wife until she is married? And when she is married, she becomes the wife. But the question is, has the wife made herself ready? Now, Paul in his epistle where that says that I espouse you as a child virgin. Huh? As a child virgin to the Lord. And he's talking about the bride of Christ. Now, we are the end time now. From the day of first church, we are the end time now. This is the wedding time. It's evening time. So the wedding takes place in this age. Am I not right? It's evening time. So now is the wedding going on right now. Christ came to take his bride. Marry her. As the bride's prophet, Brother Bram said, the emotional union of the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. Now is the time that the husband and the bridegroom and the bride get to know each other intimately. So that the bride can make herself ready by the very presence of the bridegroom, who revealed himself to her as he looked upon her and see whether she has remained faithful to the word of God. Or being faithful to the contract, the marriage vow. You understand? That she is truly a virgin, that's truly as a wife, make herself ready. So then when we look at verse 6 again, and we know there was a cry made. Now who made this cry? Now we know that in all other places of scripture we realize that the cry has to be made by a messenger. So right? In the book of Revelation. Behold the bridegroom, come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out, mission Babylon. Now the cry, the word that is presented over in Revelation is come out of mission Babylon. Yeah, it's there because here he's dealing with that mother harlot. You come out of her because she, as a church, a prostitute church, had twisted the word of God, despised the word of God, made herself a queen, and God looked at her as abomination on this earth. And God does not want any of those that belongs to her staying in that system. So you come out. No, you come out, you must go somewhere. So that's the reason why the revelation comes after Matthew, because Matthew gives you the key to know where, when you come out, where do you go? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Come out to meet him. Come out. So now you are not staying in a place, in a system. You are not in an organization. You are not in a society. You are not staying in a club. Even if you are, you better come out. Come out. Come out to meet him. So now we have a message here. Now all this virgin that comes out must, I mean, what if virgin hear the message? I can tell you one thing. Cows don't hear the message. Huh? You know that, don't you? They just bypass it, say, there's nothing. But virgin, when they hear the message, has to make a decision. Huh? You will grow up, and if you have the oil, continue good for you. Get into the marriage now. Where Christ redeems some more to you. Now, when this message came out, when this Christ came out in the 50s, those are the cry of this messenger that came out. Now, what happened to all these virgins that came out? Many of them don't really hear the message in the proper sense of the word. Instead of going to meet the bridegroom, they went to meet the messenger. Isn't it true enough? Maybe the messenger is more handsome than the bridegroom. Some people are like that. You ever heard a story about the bride marrying the bridesmaid instead of the one that she's supposed to marry? Ha! Yes! You wonder sometimes how true that really is. Instead of coming out, you know, sometimes people, that, you know what thing about charm. You know, people look for charismatic man and woman. Is that right? That's the reason why it's not just because of the five senses, it's especially the eye. The world holds beauty contests. Miss Universe, miss this, miss that. I don't want to miss. But you know, don't miss the rapture. Don't, but you know one thing? We have Mr. Universe also. And all, you know, all this good, Mr. Fitness and whatever. I mean, human beings, they are looking for the best quality in a human body. The build, the charm. I mean, maybe a man who has very nice body, but his face is very ugly. Nobody will vote for him. We all agree with that. A woman may have a very pretty face, but he's big or thin or too oversized. Nobody will want him. Huh? You know, it's human nature to look and are charmed by this beauty. Is that right? People are charmed. You know one thing about it? I'm very always interested to hear our Prime Minister Lee Kuan Yew speak. Because he can really speak. Huh? There are people who are such great orators. You know, there are people who say you can make millions and they come and talk to you how to be a good salesman. Because the way they talk. Huh? But you find the practice to earn $1 million is not easy. You see, he's only talking and you are paying him. He's selling his talk. You understand that now? So, you know, this is something common because today with this message movement, people are looking at Baruch Branham. I guess because they like his preaching. Because of what they see in his ministry. Is that right? Branham was so humble. They were caught by his charisma. They were caught by his life. And they said, oh, he's Jesus. There are people who say, what if the Lord is working as you recognize him? And they are trying to point the Branham was the Lord Jesus. You know this thing going on? Woo! You see that because they were captivated by the outward appearance. But the voice is a spiritual message. Come out. Behold the bridegroom cometh. Come out to meet him. Meet him. Not the best man. But you know, the wise was able to go. But you know, today we said, the Virginia gave a message. Many of them did not enter into this marriage feast. They only gathered to meet the bridegroom's messenger. And only to hear what he has to say without an understanding. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what Brother Abraham said. And that's where the problem lies in. If you do that. Let him hear what the Spirit say. And if you heard what the Spirit just, what the Spirit said, you heard it right, then you follow that message and get into the marriage. Now, those who heard this and stay with what the messenger said without moving, just gather around his words, there are the foolish virgins. Because they heard the message. Now, those who are in the Pentecostal church, do you think they heard his cry? If they say they are virgin and they heard his cry, and they still stay in the Pentecostal, or stay in the denomination, or the system, whatever they are, then they can't be virgins at all. Can they? Because you see what a virgin is? It's one who separates from another man and tie himself only to one man. Is that right? Is that right? Because further, it's no longer a virgin, it's no longer a virgin. He sleeps with that denomination and then go to another denomination, sleep with that denomination. He cannot be a virgin. You understand what I'm saying? Huh? In this world, there's a lot of harem. Huh? Is that right? Oh, there are a lot of harem. The Baptists and everything, all the Pentecostal and the charismatic. And you know, we were all one time caught in this harem. And waiting for somebody else to make use of us. To overpower us. And force himself on us. Or seduce us, for that matter. But you know, when we heard this message, we came out. We came out. You know what the Spirit of God is that liberty? The Spirit of God sets you free, you know. It doesn't bind you up. But the Spirit of man, the Spirit of the system binds you. Puts you in a place that you have no more liberty. You're being bondage to that system. Bondage to what's inside there. So when these foolish went out to buy, they have to buy this quickly as they can. But you know, sometimes when they go out to buy, do they realize what they're buying? The question is, do the people know what they're buying? They know, yes, I'm going to buy, or I'm going to buy the Word of God. But can they recognize the kind of oil? Can you recognize the oil? Now you and I are all sitting here today, we can recognize the oil that we have, and we have already entered this marriage now. And I'm feasting ourselves on the table that God spread for us. But there are many of them who came but still looking. Now you talk to some of these people in this entire marriage now. They don't know what you're looking at. They don't. They don't. That's why we have this problem. Why? Because you know one thing? When you started off and you have wrong leadership, you have wrong doctrine, and then after a while of indoctrination people create, it creates here. That's like this house problem here. Misunderstanding of what it is, you don't look it right, you're so afraid, you know what I mean? Like Brother Albert got a taxi and he put on a mask, somebody was calling him, he said, he was so scared, he's thinking, maybe Brother Albert is protecting the passenger. In other words, think of that. He said the passenger is calling him, because you wear mask, you think I have thought. You know, the mentality of people because of that fear. Heard about the case already. Member of Parliament related case of a young man. Went on holiday, came back, and they thought he got shot. He went someplace to a small town in Malaysia, I think, and lost his job. Huh? And then he came back and asked Andy to help him try to job back. And Andy asked him what happened. He said, you know, I thought I got shot. I thought I was so afraid. I went to a small town and stayed there. And then when he came back after that, he got no time, he came back and found that his job was lost. You know, the MP said, isn't this man foolish? First thing of it, if you have saw, and you are in a small town, where there is no proper facility, you have to die there. If you have saw, you're going to contact a hospital, which has one of the world best facilities and doctors to fight the saw for you. You would have lived in it, and would not have lost your job, even though you have saw. Now you have no saw and no job. You see the foolishness of people thinking. Now because of the fear. Now today the same thing. Who is Brother Gann? He's not in the message. He doesn't preach Brother Branham. I don't preach Brother Branham. I preach Christ. I preach the Word of God. I'm not here to preach Brother Branham. For goodness sake, I'm not here to preach Paul, you know. I'm not here to preach any man. But what? The one only man, the perfect man, Jesus Christ. We are here and His Word. That's what we are here to preach about. Let's talk about Jesus. You know what you think? They always say, let's talk about Brandon. Then this kind of people are thinking, you know the mentality of this. Some people are very offended in America. You know, you heard our story. I went to this message called Message Church. But he doesn't know mention the name of Brandon. They mean they're not believers. Oh. You see the mentality of people. You know, that's even why now the foolish went out to buy. They can go high and low, obviously, they're not going to buy it. They're not going to Pentecost and try to find oil there. Now, if they go by and try to find oil there, and they get stuck there and sit down there, in the first place, something wrong with them. The mentality, they are not virgin to begin with. Huh? They are not, they thought they were. They came out, and they tried to get into this matter. If they had a problem, they cannot answer the whole thing, they went back again. Let you see. Whether it's Pentecost or Charismatic, wherever they are now, they are not virgin to begin with. But at least the foolish didn't go back. They didn't go back to sleep. You understand? They went to buy oil. They went to buy oil. They didn't say, let me just sit down here and go to sleep. But there are a lot of people that just go back to sleep. Well, they've been looking for oil for a while, you know. Where do I go? Huh? Where do I go? Where can I go now? All these people all down. Go to Brother Gann's fellowship. No. Probably they say something like that. And then they go back to sleep. They rather sit home and rot to death, or they just go back to denominational fellowship. You know, hear a statement, things like that. They're not getting anywhere. But you know, this foolish one here in the Bible here, that some people interpret in this end time message that the foolish one, they are cursed and have no eternal life. They are not safe. How do you get this interpretation? Let me tell you, the foolish virgin, they are foolish because they didn't carry oil. Then when they're not alive, they don't have enough oil, they look for oil. And the Bible tells when they got the oil, they came back as soon as yes, but they got the oil. What is the oil? The realization of this word. When you have the first initial pouring of the oil, you're supposed to keep on going from glory to glory as Paul said. It takes us to the word. Fill it up. Fill it up. Huh? You know, you look at a lot of Branhamites today. What is the message of y'all? What Brother Branham said? What Brother Branham said? The tape is in the tape. Is that alright? Think about it for a moment. What is the message of Brother Branham? What is the message of the hour? It's not pointing to those books and tapes of Brother Branham. It's pointing to the person Jesus Christ. It's pointing to the Lord. So those who have, those foolish on the ground by now, we realize this. Again, I want to say this. When you look at this parable, I want you to, your mind to dissociate between what is spiritual and what is natural. Now we have the wise virgin in the marriage. They've gone into the marriage with the bridegroom. Now here we have the foolish ones, the foolish virgin, went forth to buy oil. They're going to buy oil. Now we know that if you go and buy oil, you buy it from the oil merchant. Who are the oil merchants then? As I said, there are all kinds of merchants. There are all kinds of oil. Right? The so-called virgin may find it in the wrong place and get stuck there in a system and went to sleep. They are not virgin, obviously. But as far as the Bible mentioned, these five foolish ones, as a number of those that would find that oil, that will be able to buy that oil, where are they? They're still out there in the world. And especially, we know in this entire message. There might be one or two or three out there in the system, huh? They have yet to heard this, to hear this cry. Do you understand? If they hear the cry, they will come out and they get straight into marriage. Don't waste time. So now, they'll put it for the bride. The wise virgin is there. Now, the wise virgin, now, you understand, you are a wise virgin, right? You are in this marriage, right? Now, I am as a preacher, I'm an oil merchant, I'm selling oil. Am I not right selling? Am I not selling oil? If I'm oil merchant, am I also not in this marriage? So now, if I'm in this marriage, and the foolish went to buy, then all the wise oil merchants are inside here, then where do the foolish one buy from? Now, obviously, if you look at the interpretation like this, then you're wrong. You understand that you must dissociate yourself the spiritual application from the natural. Right now, here we are. We are all natural here, as far as your presence of skins and bones are here. But we are sitting in how many places in the marriage feast of the Lord? We are enjoying the feasting with the Lord. Is that right? You understand that? So now, why I am as a human being in my physical life, I may come in contact with a foolish virgin. Do you understand that? That's the reason why here we have a foolish virgin who went out to buy. If they come to our oil merchant that sells the real kind of oil, you will still get it. Do you understand that now? It's not out there in the Pentecost, the charismatic. Those oil is no longer, I mean the Pentecost of today is not the same as what will happen in the 20th century. So if those foolish ones come to buy oil and get it from the right one, and they realize, yes, this is the kind of oil, and quickly come into fellowship with those things that are in the marriage, the wise virgin that are in the marriage, and come right in. The door is still open. It's not closed yet. Come right in and fellowship and have this marriage supper. I mean this marriage feast. Eat as much as you can. Do you understand? But you know many of the foolish ones are still looking for oil. You know that, don't you? They are still looking for oil. But you know, many of them will find it too late. One of these days they realize, by the time they really realize the oil, the door will have been closed. And when that door is closed, it signifies one thing. That this marriage feasting is over. It's over. The bride and the bridegroom is now in the chamber. The new third chamber. The door is closed because, you know, there's no third party. No third party inside the marriage chamber. Right or not? It's closed. It's too late now for anybody. Because if you're not part of the marriage feast, you are not part of the marriage chamber. Because the door is closed. This is a final revelation to be given to the bride or to the wife who has made herself ready. So when we look at this now, let us look at it carefully here. And then the woman went in with him to the marriage. And the door was shut. Okay, there is a space of time. Now, we know that when the virgin, wife virgin gets into this marriage, there are some reasons for her to get into the marriage. Let us look into some verses of scripture here. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 25 to 27. Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The reason why we get into this marriage is to be cleansed by the word. You know, you cannot be cleansed by the word of Brother Branham. You're not cleansed by the word of any preacher. You're cleansed by the revelation of the word of God, which become a water in cleansing you. Huh? Is that all right? Yes. You know, when a wise virgin got this lamp with light, when to meet the bridegroom and enter the marriage, they don't hold the light in their hands anymore. Because why? The bridegroom is the light. And when he speaks, he's giving you the revelation of the word. Sanctifying you. Cleansing with the water of the word that you hear, the fellowship. You're eating of the word. That's what it's supposed to be at this time. This is the time for this marriage. Ephesians chapter 4, how does it come about? It's because of Ephesians chapter 4. Because here in Ephesians chapter 4, you know, verse 9 onward, that the Lord did the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, and teacher for the perfecting of the saints. Verse 12. For the work of the ministry, for edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. The purpose is to unite us, edify us, build us up, that henceforth the no more children tossed here and there, tossed to and fro, carry about with all kinds of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. You see that? Huh? And then in verse 16, that we become a heart, the whole body is fitly joined together, compacted, and so forth. That's what the purpose of this marriage is. Not only cleansing ourselves, but we begin to mourn. You know, this marriage movement, there are so much schism. It's just impossible to get along. Huh? Because why? They don't see eye to eye. Now there is one big eye that is watching over us. Huh? There's one big eye. And that's the heart of God. And you know the word of God, when we come to the house of God, the Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. We are being judged by the word of God. That God's all-seeing eye looking at us through the word. Through the word. Now if you can see eye to eye with God, and I can see eye to eye with God, then we see eye to eye with each other. As I said, that's what I believe. I don't see eye to eye with you, you may not see eye to eye with me. And that's, you know, what the Bible is saying, that, you know, this ministry is meant to get us clean up, to come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of God, and so forth, right? So that we can see eye to eye with each other through the one eye of God. Not what you think it is. We have schism in this body, in this room, in this end time message, because some look at Brother Branham's eye and say, this is what he said. Another look at the Brother Branham's eye and say, this is what he said. And upon the same doctrine, upon the same thing, they have different revelations. And that's something is wrong. But if you see the word of God, there'll be no such thing as schism. Isn't that right? So that's the way it should be. Revelation 19. And when we come to Revelation 19, of course, here we have, and doubly, verse 7 to 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. There's the final marriage, the supper up there in heaven, huh? That is coming. And His wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, clean and white is the righteousness of the saints. That proves that we are the righteous saints of Christ. Right now we are only potential. We haven't seen anything yet, huh? Do you have a fine linen on you? No. Because the fine linen is when the body changed. That proves that you get you. Huh? Are you saying, yeah, we know, we are saying, you have eternal life now? Yes, we know we have eternal life potential. We are looking at what we have according to the word of the Lord. But right now we don't have because the body is still dying. Eternal life doesn't die, but the body is still dying, gets sick and all this. Yes? So now, when we realize this then, that the Bible said, when the foolish return, they find, well, everything's over, the door is closed. In this marriage chamber awaits the final revelation of God to the bride of Christ. And that's why we have the sound of seven thunders that will have to be uttered. Now again, when we come to this issue about the seven thunders, a lot of people are just having uncertainty about it. Huh? But suffice it to be said right now at this time, that the seven thunders that John heard uttering something, and those things that John heard uttered, that John wanted to write down, God said, don't write me down what the seven thunder uttered, what you heard them say. Don't write it. And John will write it so we know. You don't find it in the Bible. You agree with that? Huh? If you don't agree, you're foolish. Because if it's not written, it's not here. Because the whole book of Revelation, John wrote what he heard and what he saw. Yes or no? So because John heard what he was supposed to write. So if it's not written, it's not there. So if it's not written, what did Samadana have uttered? There are things that they uttered. It's not in here. And if John heard it, we, the bride, are presented by John. Because he was known as the beloved of Christ. Yes? Huh? And he was the one who had the opportunity to see the glory of the Lord, as well as to see even the deep stage of what lies in the future for the bride of Christ and God's chosen people, Israel. And if John heard that, so would the bride of Christ hear. Now there are some preachers in this environment that said that these seven thunder utterances are for the Jews. They said they are for the Jews. You know one thing? John does not represent the Jews. I want to say this. John does not represent the Jews. In touch and shadow of the book of Revelation, John represents the bride. Think about it. Think about what is true or not. That's a think real hard. Huh? And if he represents the bride, then the bride must hear. They must hear those utterances. Those things that John heard. Now if they have to be uttered, then who's gonna utter those utterances? Huh? Who's gonna hear? Who's gonna utter those utterances? It must be uttered. It's not to be read, because it's not written. When John said, in the first two, the white horse came, and the other horse says, how is it? Is that right? John saw it and wrote exactly as it is. Come and see. So you can read the Bible. Oh, come and see. You're not going to hear. Come and see. Somebody said, come and see. You're not going to hear that. You understand? Because those are symbolic. But here is something that which is not written, uttered. It is uttered, it must be repeated, it must be uttered again. For sure. You know, many times God repeats himself to emphasize the point. Remember what Daniel saw? Those visions, God showed John again. But not exactly, but studied even before. Is that alright? Sure. And if God heard this heart, this heart done an artist, do you think he will not come back and do exactly? This is what place they was. Not reason. Things that were uttered. And God said, don't write it. And it's not important. If it's not important, what did God show to John? You think that God tells Jesus Christ that let's put a fast one on the Son of God? That's not what it is. If God heard it and showed it to John, hey, it must be important. How many people catch that revelation? That means that it must be fulfilled. It has to be. And so it is our senses. John heard 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. 7 times he said 1, 2, 3. He didn't say one time after another. He said 7 times. Oh, there. Anybody doesn't know English? Which part of there you don't understand? Huh? There means what? Many. Voices. Many. But if you don't see many coming out there and out of that, I don't know. I disagree with the one preacher in America that said that it's all in the seal. No. I mean, it's supposed to be having an understanding that it's in the seal. It's in the message. But that's what many Brahma might say, it's all in the seal. It's all in the messages. And some say there are the 7 seals open, and then others say there are 7 messengers, particular messengers. Token is one of them. Marriage and divorce is one of them. Serpent seed is one of them. And they tell the name, but the others, they couldn't find which one. It amazes me how these people can come up with all this weird thought. Alright? So now let's continue with Matthew 5:25. I'm going to finish all this, the whole this today. After I came out to the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, very, very, I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Lord, Lord, open to us. Now when he came by, the doors closed. Now there's more open. Nobody bothers thee. When a man or woman goes in the inner chamber, they don't want to be bothered. Huh? Do not disturb. Big sign out there, you know. Now, if everything is over for you, there's no more marriage feast. No more. If you don't attend the marriage feast, you're not part of the chamber. Huh? Everything is over. And then what he says to you, I never knew you. I know you not, so I know you not. I don't know you. Now, it is different from what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 7. Let's go over to that. Verse 21. Now everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, we're entering into the kingdom of God, of heaven. For he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In your name cast out devil, in your name do many want to put in. Now remember this. You see, these people have the ability, the gifts, to cast out demons, heal the sick, do miracles, many wonderful big program for the Lord. Right? But these are not the virgins. How can that be? And that's what I wonder. It's just impossible. Someone with the ability to cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ, raise the dead in the name of Jesus Christ, and stand before the Lord says, I never knew you. Man, I was just wondering what a shock there would be if I'm a such a person who can raise the dead with Jesus, heal the sick, do medical wonderful work, and say, my, I don't want to take the man, Jesus loves me, I've got a whole thing in hand going for my life.
You know, I stand before the Lord, smiling the big, 42 teeth of 51, I don't know. And the Lord said to me, I never knew you. You know how my heart would feel? It would drop. 5G, 6G, whatever, pop, I don't know where it goes to. I'll be shocked. So how come you don't know me? I've done all these things. Go and ask so-and-so, I reached him from the dead. Go and so-and-so, I hear him about the cancer. You know what I mean? There are witnesses. I need that, Lord. Just imagine what Jesus said right here. I know when the world looked at it, I realized at that time, Jesus said, you see here what he said in verse 21. But he that doeth the will of my Father. But I thought, Lord Jesus, your will is for me to cast a demon. But the will of the Lord is not for you to cast a demon. Neither for you to raise the dead. It's for you to fulfill the will of God as the will of God. Want you to know what is the will of God again? It's to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. Huh? Is that right? What is John saying in his own epistle? About fellowship in the Father and the Son? And Jesus said, in the days of Lord, I am the Father, and Father in me, I am you in me. The will of God is to know Him and His Word that was made flesh, revealed to us in this generation. And that is the way here Jesus can say, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, because you are workers of iniquity. You work iniquity. You understand? This attack, they look so much like the jeans. They look so much like a real thing. But you know, Matthew 25, some people just want to say it's the same thing. Jesus said, verily I said to you, I know you not. I know you as I ought to know you. He didn't say, I know you not, you are workers in iniquity, you get lost. You are all sent to hell, fire. He never said you are workers of iniquity. He said, no one knew you. You know one thing, Jesus wants to know us as we ought to be. To be made ready as a wife. Right? If you're not being ready, then you go through the tribulation and give your life. So how much you really love the Lord. Is that right? That's your sacrifice. Christ has sacrificed for you. How much you really love Him? How much does He know you in your relationship with you? If He doesn't know you in the relationship with you as you ought to be with Him, then He's going to punch you out there to show how much you really love Him. And you have to show your life. Give your life up for Him. And so these are the foolish ones that will be cast out into tribulation. And tribulation darkness. And that's where they go. You see now? Now, so many of these people, they had that message. They're still out there looking for it. But if one are out there, I can tell you one thing, they'll be going to one day out there. By the time they realize the importance of the oil, that the wise ought to have it all the time. When they realize it, it's too late. Let me say this now. All the genes are sealed unto the day of the redemption. Ephesians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. In whom also you trust, after that you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise, which is the earnest of your inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Now don't take this, I mean, many Christians take this just because you believe in Jesus. Because there is a special relationship when you are really sealed. Do you understand that? Huh? For not all Israel are Israel, not all Christians are really Christians. Think about it. Now it's so sad to hear this priest who embezzles some millions of dollars and thinking that he only got $600 allowance, which of course is an allowance. Whatever else he gets is in his, for his own, by whatever means. But this embezzlement is beyond that. Got houses, got properties. Woo! You know, the Pope has a big bungalow, a big mansion out there in Vatican City. I don't know how many rooms, 500 rooms I was told, something like that, 500 rooms. And he collect the money for those people who are going to see the sitting chapel or whatever up there painted by Michelangelo. That's big business, you see. Huh? You see, those people will see, hey, I'm the Chinese brother, sister. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is very important. If you don't think about it, how can you start thinking about it? Or Jesus God will tell you, as you don't know me, I don't know you. Do you understand? John 3:29. There are some verses now closed. John 3:29. He that have the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which stands and heareth him, rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Yeah, John the Baptist, true, was very happy. You see, the bridegroom standing there, getting very happy, and all the bride standing around, the bride standing with him, and John still very happy. He wasn't jealous. The bride didn't come running back to John, you know. You understand what I'm saying? He didn't come running back to John. They left John, and they went with the bridegroom. The one is Jesus. Huh? Rebecca got out of the camel train, went and met Isaac, fall in love with him, get into the nuptial chamber, and make love and talk with each other. And I don't believe that Rebecca says so much about Eliezer. Obviously not. Hebrews 11:8-10. In Hebrews 11:8-10. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went, but by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heir with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. To faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past it, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So this is the speech now that move on to where body will be changed. My faith. And then of course on this day when that comes, when you hear the sermon title after the voices, and we receive those important final words from the Lord, then all will be over. Our body will be changed. Our body then will be changed. We would have put on the fine linen, clean and white. And that's the righteousness of Christ in the things of God. So now who are the foolish virgins? From what we see, we understand therefore that the wise foolish virgins are those who have heard the cry, but because they do not have the kind of oil that will take them into the marriage, they have to go look for the oil because they don't have the oil. And by the time they got the oil, it is too late for them. And therefore they are cast into the outer darkness. And Christ says to them, I know you not. So don't let us hear that. As much as the servant of Christ wanted to hear God's voice and say, enter thou into thy rest, my good and faithful servant. We want to hear that. And so we want to hear it here, I know you. I know you. You see. So it's not one thing for us to know Jesus, it's for Jesus to know us. Amen?
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your grace, we thank you, Lord, for giving us this revelation, Lord, and the understanding of thy precious word. Father, we ask of you, Lord, to continue to guide us, Lord, and that, Father, we continue to walk in thy light, and even this time, Lord, as we are in this marriage feasting, Lord, may we not say we are satisfied and stop eating, Lord, and because you have this table spread for us, even here in this marriage now, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we continue, Lord Jesus, to maintain our strength in this time of the world's condition, Lord, as it gets dark and darker. But Lord, as long as we eat of the meal that thou set before us, Lord, and drink of the Spirit of the Lord, surely, Lord, our strength will continue, and help us, Lord Jesus, to become overcomers, as we ought to be, Lord. For thou hast said, ye overcome as I overcome. So surely, Lord, as thou hast overcome, so will we, Lord, by thy grace and by thy strength, the things that thou hast granted us in this hour to feast upon now. But Father, we pray for those out there we know, should there be any here to stick, to understand, O Lord, that they must quickly get the kind of wine, get the real stimulation of the Spirit, O Lord, and come right into this marriage before the door closes out. Father, we thank you now. Bless every one of us here then. In Jesus' name, amen.